What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
What's that?
I'm just calling over to you there.
I'm sorry, Ben. I'm extremely tired.
What's today?
Tuesday.
You are tired. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is that this past weekend, Beth and I went to go visit some friends in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And it was a hoot and holler and good time.
But I
have to tell you, Atlanta, Georgia is just on the line of like far enough to drive. And by nature, it is really, if you're on the line, you're probably too far. And it was a long drive with the kiddos.
With all three.
With all the kiddos. I mean, it's a full day. And you look at the GPS and you're like, yeah, what, like six hours? No big woof. But then, of course, you get going. And with kids, you got to stop. You got to let them like run around. You got to get lunch. You got potty breaks. You got 3-year old in the back saying, I got to go potty. And you're like, I guess you probably do.
is it too embarrassing? I don't want to embarrass Luke at all.
Yeah.
But there was a photo that Beth sent to our group family chat.
Yes.
Of said potty break.
There were several potty breaks. Yeah. One in particular was particularly hilarious because we just pulled off, on the next exit. All we really like, we have a little potty in the car that he can just use and then we can just like dump.
Because he's potty trained.
Well, yeah. No big deal. Doesn't require like us stopping at a gas station or anything like that, but we just need to get the car to a parked position. So we get off on one exit and I forget what even college it was. It was this tiny college, but it was like perfectly landscaped and it had these really nice chapels that looked like castles. It was this super picturesque place. We're like pulling to the parking lot. We're like, we're just going to go to the bathroom real quick. And these students keep pulling up and we're like, don't mind us. Don't mind. It's fine. We're just taking a potty break. it's no big deal.
No, but just keep on walking. Don't worry about it.
But so like I'm sitting there and like I can see Luke taking a potty break right there on the side of the minivan. And behind him is this like picturesque cathedral castle college campus. I'm like, this is fun.
Jay, it's just like van life. It's minivan life.
Yeah.
This is what the grammars don't show you.
Yeah.
You're always seeing that shot of like both sets of legs sort of like sprawled out in front of like, an ocean canyon wall at sunset.
Who
or
are the
sunrise.
Grammars?
The grammars being Instagrammers.
I'm sorry. I was thinking the grammars were perhaps like a well-known van life family.
Well, in my head now they are.
They are. Yeah, the grammars.
The grammars.
The grammars.
They love their van.
They sure, man, they've taken that van some places.
And their ruby colored golden retriever named Golden Graham.
What a wholesome little family they got going here out on the road.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I bet they don't need to stop for pot. It doesn't sound like the Grammars have kids. Just old Golden.
Just little old Graham.
Just little old Graham.
Because you know what, Jay? Life is where you park it.
Life is where you park. Oh, man. That's just on the back of every van lifer's van everywhere.
It has to be.
Life is where you park it. It's like, that's a fantastic philosophy. I parked mine at this address that doesn't move. So it is also, you're not wrong.
So... You just parked an entire structure, a bunch of bricks.
You just keep parking in new places.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I just settled on one. I found the one spot that I wanted and now I'm just here.
Exactly.
But yeah, so maybe Luke someday will have a social media following surrounding van life. Yeah, like not what you expect about van life.
Yeah. Like the truth about van life. And his whole Instagram feed will just be like shots of him waist up. Like, obviously, if you're in the know, you'll know, like, I know what's happening here. But it'll always be in front of like a really fancy place.
Right.
But it's like juxtaposed with the activity he's doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's the thing, because I know that at one point in time on the pop, I talked a tremendous amount about like my sort of like escapism desire.
Yeah.
And infatuation with the idea of van life.
Right.
And the simplification of it.
Well, I mean, we've all thought about it, Ben.
Hold on.
Sure.
You're hitting me with the element of surprise square in my teeth right now.
Right in your teeth?
You've thought about van life before?
I mean, I've considered. Yeah.
It's like making my whole day.
It's making your whole day. I mean, it seems like a thing that my take on what van life is that, like, I mean, I understand the escapism, and it seems like a fun, like, project and a fun challenge or anything. It doesn't sound at all desirable as something to do with three kids or anything.
And that's very reasonable. I can see that.
To me, van life is almost more like an occasional hobby where, like, if it seems to me that it is presented as if it is a really cheap way to survive out in the world. But to me, I don't, and I'm sure there are people who are achieving that level of it, but it seems to me that if you really want a van life, what you actually need is a lot of money.
Yeah, I think that they've left the simple version of it in the quite literal rearview mirror, if you will.
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely right. I mean, I think there are a couple of things that I've observed about the van lifers that I have like spent time investigating and then basically congealing into my mental version of the Grammer family.
Yeah.
With their golden retriever named Golden Graham.
Yeah.
And it's there was like kind of this thing that as someone who also makes the dreaded C word content for the internet. There is like Alice and I have like laid in bed and I literally opened up YouTube and just searched for van life videos. And we've just been like, this is just really fun for us. We like super enjoy like looking into it and getting a feel for how these people do it, what they're doing, like what the considerations are and everything. And there is this like one thing that is just so true amongst all of at least all the people that I have found, which I have to tell you is not actually ever subscribing to like one channel, just mostly like observing,
right?
You know, in the very general sense of things. But it is the van life van tours.
Oh, of course.
You know, like
you gotta give the van tour.
You gotta give the van tour. And it's like every single one of those videos is like lights out. I mean, it is like 3+ million views, like just very well made, you know, just they're like, that is the video that everybody who is seeking out van life for escapism purposes, that's what they wanna see. Like what they wanna see is, could I live in this same van? And wow, that's a really clever way that they made this van super nice. Like they came up with this idea that is unique about this one particular style. Or they decided,
I think secretly this is what people actually are fascinated with about van life, is like how are they doing it?
Oh yes, absolutely. You
know, like I think the reality of being on the road and being in a new place, like it's very romantic and very like fun to dream about, and there is some escapism there. But I think when people think about it, like if they like the fun part is figuring out how would I do it, maybe not necessarily doing it.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because I think that there's also something to be said. Like I think us as a culture are just absolutely fascinated with like before and after photos as well.
Right.
You know, because I think that like time lapses of a significant amount of work being done, even if it's like mowing a lawn or pressure washing a sidewalk. It's like there's something so nice about literally getting to watch the entire process happen in like 15, maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, or even watching like somebody's like, you know, physical transformation, like, you know, hey, like I was in shape in high school. I went to college. I stopped working out. Now I was trying to pick it back up. And here's my 6-month journey instantly.
Right.
Like, here's me now fit, you know, and it's like what you don't have to endure by getting to watch that like instant snap over transition is day after day after day of like this new diet, the commitment, getting up early, going to the gym,
the canceling struggles, plans.
Yeah, like all the stuff that makes it tough. And I think that, so I think that van life in a sense is extremely similar. I think that like the idea of it to us, like, you know, in air quotes, living like, you know, that high paced lifestyle or whatever, it's like being able to like slow down, you know, and like go and be on a beach for the afternoon. Maybe pull out your laptop and design a couple of digital artworks. Right.
Be beholden to no one. Just all of your time is yours.
Right.
But I have no idea. My guess is that it's not as relaxing as you imagine.
Well, the thing that I have typically observed in my own personal life is that almost always I will have like, and I think this could even go back to like your first ever heartbreak. It's like the first time somebody breaks your heart, it is like you might be in like a high school relationship or like early on in life, and it may have been a relationship that like the other people around you could very easily observe that like the chances weren't exactly in favor of, you know, you as a 14, 15, 16 year old in your first relationship.
Yeah.
The chances are not never, but that you were going to end up with that person.
Right.
And so probably like when you went through this, your parents were like, oh yeah, they're going through their first breakup. It's so, you know, like they're right. feeling it. And like the thing is that they're probably like your parents are probably not taking it as seriously as like maybe a couple of friends who are going through like an actual like divorce, maybe at some point in life.
Right.
But like the thing is that like the heartbreak in both of those situations, is equally real.
Oh, for sure it is. Like you as the parent, like obviously you remember going through your first breakup, but now you also have all of the experience after that where you dated other people and you found your, you know, your spouse who you had this child with, and you know, everything worked out and it's you were way happier now than you ever were with your first girlfriend. And like, you know, like this, it's not really a big deal, but it's like, but it is.
It is. It absolutely is.
But that pain
is
so very real.
Yes. And I think that the same thing is true with the biggest problem that you have to face at any given point in time. And at least for me, professionally speaking, it has been the case that like, as I graduated college and sort of immediately like took this path into business, it has always been the case for me that I've never had like that like boss, you know,
yeah.
air quotes boss, like the person who I could like show up one day and they could be like, I'm sorry, like, you know, like this isn't working out for whatever reason. And but like that doesn't mean that my brain hasn't always assigned that position to the number one person who controlled the most amount of like my income. So it's like, it was kind of like right at first I had this one like small restaurant chain here in Roanoke who had like four aquariums. And so it, in the scheme of things, it wasn't this like massive, great big, you know, like, I don't know, otherworldly client or anything like that, but it was big enough that like, if that client didn't pay for all four of those accounts, then my immediate financial situation was immediately in danger.
Right.
And so, you know, like if they didn't pay for 2-3 weeks, a month late, then it was like the fear that I was going to like lose this contract would weigh on me. You know, it's like, it's what would keep me up at night. Like I'd be stressed. I'd be worried. Like, you know, I'd like be trying to do, you know, like this is like a client who's actively not paying me for my job, and I would be like attempting to then go above and beyond to do even better.
Yeah, why would you be afraid of losing the contract because they hadn't paid?
Or
just
mind,
because they were not interested in the service?
That, exactly. Okay. Yeah, yeah. With the idea basically being like, well, you know, like we decided it was too expensive, so we've been trying to figure out how to tell you or something,
but they still owe you the money.
They absolutely yeah. do. But I've also had clients since then where quite literally at some point in time, they made the decision that they didn't want the service anymore and never told me until it was like multiple months late on receiving payment. And it was just sort of like, oh, I see what happened. Like basically they were just like, well, we're just not going to pay you, but if you keep coming. And so anyway, don't do that. That's not nice.
That's terrible.
The point is though, is that like I then graduated from like who this person was in my life, kind of like step by step by step. So like at one point in time, I got to the point where like my aquarium portfolio, if you will, was big enough that like I wasn't so specifically concerned about like this one client anymore. But now like this other relationship dictated terms about like my personal life that if something related to my work went poorly, it would be like maybe like my living situation could be disrupted all of a sudden, you know, like a landlord type of problem.
Right.
And the idea has been that every single time I've been able to get away from one of these situations, like one of these invented bosses, if you will, that like I've created, not that,
right,
that they have required or anything like that. Just the person who holds the most amount of my life in their hands. Every single time I've moved on to the next one, and they've always been exactly as real as it was before. Does
yeah.
that make sense? Like, it's like no matter what, even today in life, it's like I still haven't fully escaped this particular problem.
Even though now like you're your own boss.
Even then I was my own boss the whole time. Yeah. I've been my own boss.
Sure.
But there is this like external sort of like, I am beholden to something, to someone, to some situation.
Yeah.
In order to maintain my current existence. And at times those relationships have been much, much, much better. And at times they've been worse. My point is as we kind of take this, like this idea and apply it to the idea of van life, it's that my expectation is that now all of a sudden the biggest problems that you face attach to what otherwise on the whole might be a more calm existence.
Yeah.
Are now, those are still your biggest problems all of a sudden.
Oh, like, right.
Like a flat tire is now, like if I drove home from work today and I had a flat tire, it would be an inconvenient evening, but not like I could get home. Alice could come pick me up.
Right.
You know, like I would call a tow truck, whatever. But if you're out in the middle of the woods of Montana and you get a flat tire and you can't make it to a campground and you're on the side of the road.
Right.
You know, no cell service, can't call, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this is like a really big deal.
Yes.
Like it very much affects your immediate surroundings for the next 24 to 48 hours probably.
Right.
It becomes that much more stressful than a flat tire would be in other circumstances.
I do see what you're saying.
Yeah.
That like just because you have taken away all of the traditional big responsibility things that fill most people's lives, that void will just be filled with the new responsibilities, however big or small they happen to be, as they like scale to van life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that this is basically the case for all of us in some capacities, that we're all faced with daily challenges, and the ones that you're faced with, the reason that they're challenges to you is because they're real, you know, like it doesn't matter what the scale of that is, whether, you know, small or big in relative terms to each other, you know, it's like, if it's your biggest problem, it is your biggest problem and therefore probably accounts for a significant amount of stress.
Yes.
You know, one way or another.
Oh man.
Or maybe it's just the case that I shouldn't do van life because I'm obsessed with being stressed about things. Apparently.
I like to be stressed about things. Yeah. Although on that note, let's segue into the, what is it? The This Peaks Wix.
Whoa, we're doing it early?
Yeah, we're doing it early because everything we're describing is very applicable to the book I've been reading recently, which is going to be my hard recommendation. I think everyone should go download this book. Or, you know, buy it, whatever. Read it in whatever way you read, whether it's listening or with your eyes, like, you know, some caveman or something.
It's true. At this point in time, it's like if I've read a book, I listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that counts as reading.
Okay.
Totally.
Yep.
Anyway, the book is called Project Hail Mary.
Does it have to do with the football?
No, it does not have to do with football at all.
Okay.
It is written by...
Hail Mary is frequently like a last-second deep pass. Like, let's just hope they catch it.
Yes. Well, the title is still very applicable.
Okay.
It is written by Andy Weir, who also wrote The Martian.
Yes.
Which is another great Audible download if you need a good book recommendation. But I would say this one has been way more entertaining and way more fun.
What?
Yes.
Than The Martian?
Than The Martian. I'm saying it. Better than The Martian.
Wow. That, like, I will tell you that is high praise. The Martian is like one of like my top three audiobooks.
It's been so good. It's so entertaining. I was driving into work today. I've got like 6 minutes left and I was like so sad that it was going to be over. I was like, no, I'm at the end. This is a bummer. But it has been really, really good. And it's written by the same guy who wrote The Martian. It is also a story about space, but that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to tell you anything else. I don't want to ruin anything for you. So I'm just going to say Project Hail Mary, give it a listen. Especially the narrator is very good for the book. And I think you're going to enjoy it.
Okay. Can I tell you that this is sort of like semi-related, but I've been very excited because in the past week, the Emmys happened and Ted Lasso, which is something that I think that you and I here on this show have like talked very positively about.
Love The Lasso.
For good reason, because it's a fantastic show. But it's like started like winning Emmys and stuff. And I have to tell you that this has been like in the funniest way validating for me, because I feel like it almost, not to be like, you know, that guy, but it was almost like I liked it before it was popular.
Oh yeah, like right away. Like I was like, Ted Lasso, this seems like a great show. And I was like, yes, it oh my gosh.
And what a good show.
What a great show. Just discovered it completely naturally.
I struggle with this though, because sometimes I do love something and it is like, it is not maybe also like art necessarily, like it's like, I like it because something about the story or whatever appeals to me. But then it's like, you come to find out, it's like, yeah, like it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. But this one, it's been really cool to watch it unfold, to watch people react to it. And I will say that probably one of the more common emails that I do get over on the pop email is people who are like, oh my gosh, thank you for recommending Ted Lasso. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, you do.
So I do get validated very frequently about old Ted Lasso. But have you been watching season 2 of the show?
I'm all caught up.
You are all caught up.
Yes.
Okay. Because I don't want to go like too deep into spoileries or anything like that. But I just want to say, like, because season 2, I think, has been different than season
for sure.
One. It's like, it's been almost experimental at times.
Definitely experimental at times.
Yeah, where it's like, should we try this? Absolutely. We have 10 episodes. We can definitely use 3 of them for experiments.
Right.
But so that it has been a very interesting season. And I think that what I'm like glad for is the fact that I was like, I'm like, so I bit so hard on it that it's like, I'm like, so also open to the experiments and to like better understanding them.
Yeah.
But I will say there was the most recent episode is an episode about a character named Beard.
Yeah.
And it is, tell me if you disagree, it's an odd episode.
I did watch it and it is easily the most experimental episode thus far. It is different from all the other episodes, like, clearly.
Yes.
But I still enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah. And here's what I liked about this. So without going too much into it, because if you either haven't watched the episode or none of this means anything to you, I want this conversation to still feel applicable in some capacity. But what I love so much about this, or maybe you've experienced this before, maybe not, is like seeing something and knowing that it's in the orbit of things that you like, and then almost being like, I need someone to explain to me why this was good.
Mm.
Like, did you have that at all? Like, I feel like what I did was I got out of that episode and I was like, someone's got to tell me, like, what is, like, I'm sure that it was amazing. Like, I trust that. I will catch up with the amazing this
right
time. But someone needs to explain it to me because I don't know.
Where is the Nerdwriter video about Beard After Hours is amazing? Here's why.
Is actually the best Ted Lasso episode we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Let me explain. And
right.
It's like, okay. Yes. Okay,
I'm in.
I need you to explain it to me.
Tell me about the decisions.
Because Nerdwriter, talking directly to you,
yeah,
you're a great person. Thanks for doing what you do. I've talked about this before, but he also has a very famous video about why Prisoner of Azkaban is the best Harry Potter movie, which I've brought up before here on the Pop. I know we've talked about it, but it's also one of those things where I'm just like, I don't know. I still don't know if I can get there.
Well, it's such a weird thing because, like, even today, for like our Instagram page, we were doing like behind the scenes, ask us anything, and one of the things was, what's your favorite movie? And it's just like, well, that, I mean, it's a really hard thing to answer because, like, what do you mean? Like, depending on like genre or mood or like what, you know, even when we do reviews on the main channel and like we give it a rating at the end, it's like, you know, if you like, what do you mean by this is like the best movie, you know, like the most well-made movie according to, because if that's the case, it's like there should be like obvious metrics and stuff you can clearly judge, which I think is what some critics think they're doing. But even that's incredibly biased. It's like,
it's very subjective.
Subjective. So I feel like what I do is like, how much like joy did this give me out of 100?
Yes. Okay.
It's kind of what I'm trying to give my rating based on, like, how much did, I don't know.
Yeah. And here's the thing for me that I've noticed the most. And this is one that, like, I think for a long time, I was like very timidly walking up to the edge of this cliff and like, you know, sort of like terrified to like take that like leap.
Yeah.
Like as to declare like, yeah, you know what? I'm sticking to it. But there is like a certain reliability to this question for me, like, within fandom specific things. So like Star Wars, The Force Awakens is like, it's my favorite Star Wars movie. And it's like one of these things where like, I am so sure of that because it's not even something like how do I even describe it? I thought I was going to be able to articulate this better and now I'm failing at it.
Okay.
But I can go back to my entire experience with it. I can go back to what it was like for me watching this movie in theaters and how enamored with it I was. The excitement when I had the ability to watch it at home. The number of times that like I had a bad day and just like went and chose something to watch. And that is what I picked.
Right.
You know, and it's like, these are things that I can go back to without a shadow of a doubt and know that like my, my like not trying to please anybody with my answer, like decisions that I can go back and look at. It's like, this is the one you've picked over and over and over again. It's mm-hmm. like, it's like you will literally, if like, if given the opportunity to like just have a free day where you don't have to go and do anything and you're sitting on the couch, you'll open this movie.
Right.
And that is the case for me with The Force Awakens, Infinity War, and the other two that have like weirdly woven into this same equation for me is the movie Pitch Perfect.
Oh.
And also The Greatest Showman.
Ah, The Greatest. Yeah, you've talked about that before.
Yes.
On the pop.
Yes. And yeah. it's so funny for me because it's like these are all things that actually there's one more I can add to that, which is the movie Moana.
Great one. Great one.
Yes. So I would say, and I don't even know if there is, it's possible there's a counter like on your iTunes library or like I have it on my Apple TV, but like I would be willing to bet that I have watched those movies by like a multiplier of like five more than like
right.
other movies.
More than, yeah.
like I have watched them way more on purpose, put my phone down and actually watched it.
Right.
You know, and also probably the case that movies that I, if you were to go back through like our library of Super Carlin Brothers videos, I would be willing to bet that, well, with the exception of Pitch Perfect and Greatest Showman, the other three, I probably think there are the most number of videos that I made on the YouTube channel, like speculating on something to do with it.
Oh,
like we went in deep into the Moana.
We
like,
did. I bet Frozen might be that Moana. Disney wise, I do a lot of Frozen stuff.
I absolutely loved Frozen. Like, and I would say that Frozen had Moana beat for a long period of time. Tangled is also in the same equation. Apparently, I just like Disney princess movies. But
no surprise to anyone watching.
Yeah, not at all. I don't know how this happened, but I think Frozen 2 ruined Frozen 1 for me.
Oh no.
I just think it did. It just did. I think that Frozen 2's music is better than the music in Frozen 1. But I think that the story I just didn't like it.
Just didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
Oh,
so.
Sorry to hear that.
I know you really bonded.
I really like Frozen too. Yeah, I really liked it. I just really liked like Elsa's story in particular.
Yes, I know, yeah. I know. I think that you related with that one heavily.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. That's interesting. I don't know if I could I think for my own favorite movies, I think I would probably list also The Force Awakens is also my favorite Star Wars movie.
Okay.
Which I think when you're asking people this, like when you say if people ask me what is the, like, it's so weird, especially with Star Wars, you say like, oh, it's my favorite. Like people, I guarantee you, people are like, that's the worst Star Wars movie. That's a terrible Star Wars movie. Or like that everyone in Star Wars is really vehement about their opinions.
Oh yeah.
But it's just like, it's so that to me is like, I like the word favorite more than it's the best, because best is just like very opinionated. It's like favorite to me means when I watched it, I enjoyed it so much. Like,
yes.
So like I walked out of the theater and my cup was at a 10. I was so happy. Like, did it rely on me having 20 years of nostalgia about the other six movies? Yes, it did. And whatever.
Did it work?
Did it work? Yes, it did.
Yep.
Like when Rey pulls the lightsaber, I audibly gasped. When the music started at the beginning of the movie, I got chills. I was like, I'm back. And I was like old enough to like really just take it all in. Wasn't a kid. First pass on it. I loved Rey. I loved Finn. I loved Poe. I loved BB-8. I loved Kylo Ren. It was amazing. It's a great movie.
It is.
And it is. I don't think another Star Wars movie, I mean, from the, I don't know, whatever, original prequel, sequel, Skywalker saga, that's going to be my favorite.
Yes.
You know?
There is, okay, at some point in time, what I want to do, because I feel like I can do the exact same thing for The Force Awakens in terms of just like literally going to like moments in the movie that I love. I could probably do like a mirrored video where I do that with my frustration with the end of Game of Thrones.
Oh,
and I could, like, and it is like, those are things that I can reliably be passionate about in such a real way.
Yeah.
You know? It's like specifically in The Force Awakens, there's this moment where Poe and Finn have just broken out and they're like flying the TIE fighter together. One thing is when Poe is like, whoa, this thing really moves.
Yeah.
Because I can feel what he means. I'm like, Yeah, it does, yeah. Doesn't it? Like, it just, yeah. Like, it's like whips.
We've never been inside of a TIE fighter before.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Oh, is that what it feels like? Oh, man, I've been in lots of X-Wings.
But, I know. You know, yeah, not like this.
But the protagonist X-Wings, is never in the TIE fighter.
They seem slow.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
I see why would you use TIE fighters when you could also have X-Wings? I get it now.
Right, yeah, because they're better.
Yeah.
Because they are better. Because
they can move.
And then Finn shoots the thing, and he's like, did you see that?
I saw it.
And it's like, I can't even tell you how happy this moment makes me. Like, it's just like they're just broing so, like, just so amazingly so hard.
It's like Finn is like, I guess I've switched sides now, and I'm immediately just like, let's go.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
I guess there's no switching sides halfway. If I'm gonna commit, I'm fully in.
Right.
You're my new best friend. Do we just become best buds? I think so.
And that's just it.
And that's it.
It's so special.
It is. Good moment.
It's good. Yeah. No, anyway, that's that. That's about movies. What is your favorite movie? Is like, it's like what I really think. The reason I think this question exists is because it's a fantastic first date question because it's unanswerable.
It's unanswerable.
What you're actually attempting to do is to start what is otherwise a very long discussion.
What you're almost guaranteeing is that you're, like, there's a 1 in a million chance the person is going to say the same exact movie you're hoping they say. But otherwise, what they're going to answer, whatever their answer is, unless it's the exact same thing as your favorite movie, in which case, great news, you found your soulmate.
right. Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to be like, but actually what you want to do is tell them about your favorite movie.
Yes. Yeah. Like, what I'm attempting to do is actually tell you more about who I am because of what my favorite movie says about me.
Yeah.
And I need you to know what kind of person I am based on that answer.
Right. I need to tell you why me, a 30-year-old man, loves Frozen. You're going to love it.
This is going to be good.
This is going to be good.
But that's the thing.
You're not going to think it's weird because it's awesome.
Right. See, this is, I mean, I've never really done like the dating racket before.
Yeah, no, me neither.
But the thing that desperately makes me want to, and I'm sure people who have done this before are like, no, it's not as much fun as you think it's going to be. But I do feel like it would be really, 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 really fun for me to go and just be like, I'm going to tell everyone it's Frozen. Like, it's just, yeah, and like, I, because this is
what you should do on your vlog,
sink or swim answer.
Yeah, this has been like this could be the first episode of your vlog that will, you know, it'll be like, I went on 50 first dates and told everyone my favorite movie was Frozen. Here's what happened.
Oh my gosh. But I can't do that.
Well, I mean, you'd probably have to clear it with Alice. And, you know, it'd probably be upsetting for all the people who took time out of their schedule to go on a date with someone who was married for the sake of a potentially viral video.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like most people will be upset.
I think most people viewing it would be upset.
Ben, think about the views.
I can't.
You can't.
Although, I mean, if in another life, I mean, that does sound like a darn fun proposition.
So someone else who's still in the dating racket, whose favorite movie is Frozen, needs to do this.
Like, it needs to be true.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying, like, say it for the wows.
Yeah.
I'm saying it because it's like, because you know what? You know what? In your heart, you know it's true.
Yeah.
You know it's true. And that's the thing. And they'll be able to tell.
They'll be like, this person, they let it go.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Okay, actually, Ben, on the topic of favorite movies, we keep sitting here asking each other what are our favorite movies, but I think we're asking the wrong people.
Oh.
Because who we need to be asking is us.
Wait, what do you mean?
Transition! Okay, Ben. So, there has been a recent development in the world of chatting with Jay and Ben from Popcorn Culture.
Tell me more.
Okay, so I think the app is just called Get Shuffle.
Okay.
But basically, I'm on here right now, and you can choose to chat. What the app does, it has listened to every single episode of Popcorn Culture.
What?
It has listened to all of it, and then it has used AI to create a bot that will chat as us.
No.
Yes. So you can go on the app right now. They've got a solid 3 podcasts. They've done this for 3 different podcasts. We're one of them.
Hey.
And I have to say, we're in pretty good company. We're in there with my brother and me and dear Hank and John. So I feel like we are sort of the black sheep.
I think we're batting out of our.
But clearly they targeted brothers themed podcasts, I guess, to go out to get. Anyway, you could go on there right now. This is not sponsored. I'm only doing this because we were playing with this earlier and it is so funny. I encourage you to do it.
We're going to ask it what our favorite movies are.
Right, so I'm going to go in there. I'm just going to hit chat now, and I can go in here, and I can chat with us, and an AI version of us will respond.
Okay. So maybe we should make it clear that if you go and chat with this, it is not actually us.
This
is artificial intelligence's version of us based on us.
Based on us and what we've said specifically in popcorn culture.
Okay.
Yes, so okay. I'm going to ask it, what is your favorite movie ? Where's the question? There it is. Nope, that's period. Mm-hmm. This is great. I can type totally. Bam. All right. What's your favorite movie? It's typing.
Okay.
It says, is Pixar even a division of Disney anymore? As of this fall, it officially became one giant division. Is it fair to exclude Pixar and Brave and Monsters, Inc. and even Monsters University from the Disney animated feature film?
Wow. So... That's what it came up with?
That's what it said. What's your favorite movie? It sounds a little pretentious. Is Pixar even a division of Disney anymore? Can we just slice it off?
So does this mean that AI, if you were to distill out our personalities from 90 plus episodes of us, so 90 hours of us talking is kind of pretentious.
Well, so what's your favorite movie? Clearly the answer should have been, so maybe based on what we just said, obviously this isn't into the bot yet.
Into the rhythm.
But the correct answer would have been like The Force Awakens or something.
Sure. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to ask it what. Where am I typing? Let's see. Let's try again. Who is your favorite Disney? What princess? Okay. So who is your actual favorite Disney princess before I ask the bot?
I would say it's probably a tie between Rapunzel and Moana.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Mine would be probably Mulan or Belle.
Okay, I think Belle is like the most common answer.
Well, Belle's pretty great.
Yeah. Belle is pretty great. Small amount of Stockholm syndrome.
Well,
I mean, otherwise, pretty great.
Pretty great.
So, anyway. France. Okay. I get it.
Anyway.
Continue.
Let's see. I'm going to ask. So it may be, who is your favorite Disney princess? Bot. It says, I'm going to say Merida because I do like Brave, but I really can't say one, to be honest.
Okay.
That's a pretty straightforward answer.
Incorrect. It is incorrect. Brave is a movie that I think is like outstandingly beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's like an underrated like feature about the movie is that like it's a really like well animated and it makes sense because I mean it is Pixar, which, you know, not to get too pretentious, is its own division. but I think that the story is not as strong as it could be, even given the established plot that's there.
Okay.
Like, I think that it lacks the maximum impact that was available given all of the exact same pieces of the puzzle. I just think some of it got like a little bit like odd.
Yeah, it does feel like during development they took some turns and maybe got away from what their original story was. But I agree. Like when I first saw Brave, it was like the first time I walked out of a Pixar movie and was like, I don't know if I like loved it like 100%. And then I saw it again and I was like, I liked it more the second pass when I knew what to expect. But like all the I think it just didn't match the trailers is what it came down to.
Yeah.
And I think they were trying to like hold the like her mom's going to turn into a bear card pretty close to the chest. And that ends up being what most of the movie is about. Like, oh no, mom turned into a bear. We got to reverse it.
Some hijinks ensues.
Exactly. And it's like, I thought based on the trailers, Scottish redhead girl with bow and arrow is going to go fight a big bear. And it's like, I guess that happens, but it's not what the movie's about.
Can we do a video where we just literally review? Where we just review every Pixar movie as quickly as we can.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a very important question for the bot now.
Okay.
I'm going to ask us, who is the one true host?
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy. What's it going to say? Who is the one true host?
Oh, dear. I'm kind of nervous. I got sweaty palms.
It says, I don't know. I would say only me. Boring. Boring. It must think you're typing.
It
or,
must.
Or me.
No, it's definitely me.
It's very vague.
It's definitely me.
All right, let's see. What is Ben going to name his baby? Let's see what you say.
Well, I've guessed that. That would be amazing.
That would be guess. That'd be amazing. If it's a girl, Carrie. If it's a boy, if it's a girl, Carrie. If it's a boy, Seggy.
Seggy.
S-E-G. If it's a girl, Carrie. If it's a boy, Seggy. S-E-G-E-Y. Actually, that's my son's name. So my oldest is Seggy, and his middle name is David. Simply Gary David Goldberg.
I don't even know what to make of that.
I don't know either.
At some point in time, it feels like these reactions shift from hilarious to slightly fever dreamish.
A little bit.
Like, where are we? But that is okay. Okay. Carrie.
Oh my gosh, Carrie. Is that the name?
It's not the name.
We've ruled out Carrie.
We've ruled out
Carrie. So it's wrong.
Put it on your no fly list.
Final question.
Okay.
Do ducks go in cups?
Oh, clearly. Obviously. Oh, typing. Definitely.
Sending. I think you mean bow ties, don't you? I like questions like this because I like to reverse psychology people into looking like blatant idiots. I think ducks go in cups. I don't know why. Ducks.
I love the hard stop of ducks.
Just one word sentence at the end. Ducks.
Ducks.
I like the, do ducks go in cups? I think you mean bow ties, don't you? I like questions like this because I like to reverse psychology people into looking like blatant idiots. Actually, no. I think ducks go in cups. I don't know why. Ducks.
Well, this is good stuff.
I feel like
I can hear myself saying reverse psychology.
Yeah,
I can see
the psychology.
Blatantly.
Yeah.
I think I use that word a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10 word. Yeah. So I can sort of see like where some of this is coming through. I also, as you've been tinkering with it, I feel like it offers like an excess number of words for every sentence. And it's making me worried that this is something that I do in normal communication.
There are some times where it will use the word like a lot. And I'm like, I know we do that. And I'm like, yeah, I just did it.
I just did it. There have been moments where I've been watching back or listening to our own episodes of The Pop, and I'd be like, man, if there was a libations game for every time one of us said the word like, it wouldn't go well.
It would not.
Yeah.
It would not.
Well, we'll have to remember that for the live versions of popcorn culture after dark.
Yeah.
You know, where there will be libations available for your viewing experience, and we'll just have somebody who holds a flag every time one of us says like,
yeah, just like, oh no. All right, I'm gonna ask it, what's a top 10 word?
Okay,
let's see what it gives us. Probably top 10 most overused Disney character name. That's not a very good answer.
That's not a very
that
good
was
answer.
A boring one. Yeah. No, we're slacking now.
We're becoming artificially whatever the opposite of intelligence is.
Yeah. Artificial stupidity. Blatant idiot.
Blatant idiot.
Oh wait, I'm gonna do what's your favorite libation? Because we use that word a lot. Apparently.
I'm starting to understand why you can like play games for so long and still be fascinated by them, because I think it's like let me just try something different. Maybe this time
I'm trying to think of like pop inside jokes and seeing how it responds to those things.
Okay.
It says, what's your favorite libation? Probably ginger beer. Maybe even more so now that we said that. Maybe even more so.
Maybe. I could go for a ginger beer.
I do like ginger beer. Anyway, I would highly encourage everyone listening. We'll put the link to the Super Carlin Brothers bot in the description. So you can go check it out and ask us all sorts of questions. And please screenshot our dumb answers and share them with us with hashtag popcorn culture.
Yes, you can share them on Instagram or on Twitter. Or if you want to email them to me at popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
I will get a hooting and hollering good time out of not just knowing what we said in reaction, but also what you thought was a good question to ask us.
Yeah.
And then maybe what we can do is answer some of those questions
like actually.
Like, how close did they get it?
Yeah.
How close did we get?
How close were we to ourselves?
Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah.
This feels like just a toe in the water of what is to come with this kind of technology.
Maybe even more so now.
Maybe, yeah, okay, I see what you did there. The ginger beer thing. It took me a second. Oh my gosh. All right, Jay. How about a corny joke?
I should have asked the bot for a corny joke.
Oh, that would have been good.
Okay. Maybe while you tell the joke, I will ask it.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, so this particular joke is going to come from Arnav Betty, who says, why can't Harry tell the difference between his potions pot and his best friend?
What, but between his potions pot? I don't know why.
They're both cauldron.
That's a terrible joke.
His potions pot. It's so funny to call a cauldron a pot because, like,
yeah.
For some reason, I feel like the structural integrity of a cauldron versus a pot is, like, massively different. Like, a cauldron dents the floor if you drop it, and a pot breaks.
Yeah.
You know, it's all a matter of what happens in relationship to a floor.
Oh, my God.
That's really the defining factor. Well, if you can drop a pot on the floor and it doesn't break, then it's instantly a cauldron.
Can I tell you that my son Nick broke my salt shaker yesterday?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I came home and it was clearly the case that it had just happened and that Beth was waiting for me to get home and that she could not. The problem is with glass breaks on the floor when you have two small kids is that you immediately need to clean it up. But obviously there was a loud thing and now you're really focused on the thing that just fell on the floor. Uh-huh. And whatever you're really focused on is what they're going to be really focused on. And when that thing is broken glass, it's really hard to clean it up because they're going to want to be like all up in it.
Like, hold up, need to go check
need
that
to go
out.
Check out what's right this now. What's all this fun white powder on the floor? It's like no, sorry, that's salt and it's got glass mixed in and we're gonna. So obviously what happened was the salt broke, and in an effort to clean it up, Beth had tried to take them upstairs but then couldn't leave them alone in the room, so she was just camping out up there until I got home and I had to clean up the salt.
Oh, man.
And I don't have a salt shaker now.
Would you like a new salt shaker?
Well, yeah,
I'm gonna try to find the most common salt shaker to
you know
you.
What just have it delivered to the house. I can't wait.
Okay
good, so good. I decided the AI probably wouldn't be good at corny jokes because I don't think it understands puns.
Oh, okay.
Probably, but I am gonna ask it, can you give me a fun fact about coyotes?
Oh,
and we're gonna see what it says.
This technically counts as a fun fact about coyotes.
Yeah, whatever we say. An adult can typically run pretty fast, close to 40 miles per hour. However, they're actually pretty lazy runners, which is why they can seem so scary. When they're getting chased by you or running towards you, they are.
They are what?
Let's find out. They are what? That's a pretty good fact otherwise.
It was pretty good. It's pretty solid. I think it's because if we did more Q&A based conversation and then you were asking questions as close as possible to the actual question, I think that there's a possibility that it would just answer
correctly. Yeah.
Like, I don't even know if it's intended to be funny. I think it is just funny anyway.
We'll just get a burnt popcorn check on how fast the adult coyote can run. And if it's close to 40 miles per hour, which seems reasonable.
It seems right.
It does. So it said, it finished that sentence, when they're getting chased by you or running towards you, they are. And I said, they are what? And it says, a mug and a tankard. A mug is the handleless mug, and a tankard is the thing you drink out of. I haven't had a straight alcohol in a while, but as recently as 2 weeks ago. Well, Ben, when was the last time you had a straight alcohol?
A ginger beer. Oh, man.
Man, do we talk about alcohol that much? I don't know. I feel like we say libations a lot.
I feel like we say libations. Yeah. I feel like AI us doesn't really understand the fact that we're side-skirting saying the word alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. By saying libations, which is clearly the superior word.
Clearly. Top 10 word.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, okay. So maybe we have a transition.
Yeah.
Okay, Jay, in last week's episode, we were talking about Facebook.
Yeah.
And how you were wanting the events page to just be better.
I wanted the events page to be one of the available clickable tabs on mobile.
Yes. And I feel like when you were telling me this, I was like, I'm certain that this is going to already be a thing and Jay's just overlooking it. Because it seemed like last time you complained about something about Facebook, like within the next week,
yeah,
people were like, hey, this is a thing. You can just do this. And it was kind of like, Really? Like, is there a chance that Jay just literally overlooked it? Or does somebody at the Facebook tune into the pop?
I think that's the only explanation, Ben. Because as of recording it, like, someone posted a screenshot of their phone, of their Facebook, and sure enough, right at the bottom, you could click events. And, like, I opened my... Well, here's the thing, though. I will say this. I opened up mine. I was like, no way. Like, was I just not looking at the bottom tab? And I was looking at, like, the menus that were part of the page rather than, like, part of the app.
Sure.
And I looked down at the bottom. Not there. I'm like, I wonder if I need to, like, update my app or something.
Maybe. But yeah. It's, like, it's very, very, very curious to me that even, like, a previous update of the app wouldn't just have this feature.
Yeah. Why it's not there is beyond me. So I checked to see if I could update it. I did. It's actually still not there on my phone.
Oh, interesting.
Which is weird. I can click like over to,
I'm checking my phone.
Oh yeah. Open your Facebook app and see if there's a way you can just click on and like go to a page that you're a fan of or something. See if you can just click events anywhere. Because for me to do it, I have to like click on a little button, like a little profile picture of myself at the bottom, and it'll bring me up to a bunch of other tabs. And then I can press events, and then it'll show me all of the events that are there. Like, yeah, I see you're on the Blade Gaming page. Can you just see events?
I can't see events.
What about on the bottom of your phone?
Hang on. No.
Nope. Okay. See? Still not there. Some people it's there. Maybe this is like Android versus iOS or something.
Maybe it is. This is really weird.
Isn't it weird?
But now I was going to say what I really wanted to do is attempt to trick Facebook into adding other features because we complained that they didn't have them.
What features would you like to see on the Facebook?
Let me see here. Maybe if just like on the main landing page that there is a talk to an artificial intelligence version of Jay and Ben on the internet.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it just auto feeds in. So at any point in time, it's like, do you remember back in the days of AOL Instant Messenger, there was something called Smarter Child?
I do remember Smarter Child now that you mention it.
Smarter Child was so fun.
Yeah.
Because I think probably for the exact same reasons, because like it was smart enough to have like answers to questions that like made sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Like you could ask it like very obvious things like what time is it? And it would just tell you what time it was. And then if you just like typed in like ASDFGH, whatever, it would just say like, I'm sorry, Ben, I don't know what ASDFGH, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like means. So, you know, if you asked it a question that didn't know the answer to, then it would just respond with that very obvious thing. But I feel like there was like other things you could do with Smarter Child that were clever. And I want to know, I need to trip down memory lane.
Yeah. Are you going to look up Smarter Child on your phone right now?
What could Smarter Child do?
Okay. Bring it. I do remember talking, like interacting with the bot and like seeing what kind of conversations you could have for it. And I feel like even when Siri came out, I feel like a lot of people did this just to see like what kind of weird answers Siri would give back. Like if you asked it the meaning of life or whatever. But there's like, I think there's Easter eggs built into Siri, like things you can discover.
Yes, I think that you're right. I think you can also just be like, hey, Siri, tell me a joke. What kind of dog can jump higher than a building?
What kind of dog can jump higher than... You're laughing. It must be good.
It is really good.
Okay. What?
All of them. Buildings can't jump.
Oh, crushing it. Today's episode is brought to you by artificial intelligence.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Apparently. Okay, so I couldn't figure out anything about Smarter Child. All I found was how to make your child a smarter child.
Oh, right.
And
yeah.
So it gave me a whole bunch of weird things. But we'll be sure to link to a list of things that AOL Instant Messenger Smarter Child could
do. I'm sure the internet needs to remember it because Instant Messenger is just completely gone. It's like the whole thing is just deleted.
Sometimes it like makes me sad a little bit.
Yeah.
Like I feel like there was something really glorious about this particular phase, or maybe I just like resonated.
Yeah.
With AOL Instant Messenger.
I think our whole generation resonated with Instant Messenger.
Yes. There was just something like kind of glorious about it because it was like, there's something odd about texting now that like there is the idea that you kind of at all times are a little bit available to be communicated with.
Yeah.
Whereas like at the very least with AIM, it's like if you like walked away from it, then it would be like no matter what somebody said, they could not summon you back to the computer if you were just physically elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, but like with your phone, if somebody just starts like texting repeatedly, which this doesn't really happen to me at all, but like in case they did, I could eventually be like, okay, like, let me see what this person needs.
Yeah.
You know,
and well, I think the other thing about Instant Messenger was like you were logging into a program with the intent to talk, and everyone who had your screen name could see that you were logged in a program that was for chatting.
Yes, true.
And so it was like the door was like, it was much more approachable, whereas like I would never text someone that like I didn't really know, that I don't like, you know.
Oh,
like, it feels
much
more personal to be like to text someone on their personal phone on their person.
Yeah.
Whereas if I just had a screen name of someone I like met in class once, or just knew they existed and knew they probably knew I existed.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like such a barrier to just say, hey, on Instant Messenger, because like, I can see you're online, I'm online. This is a chatting program. And this is why people are on here.
Exactly.
So easy enough.
The flip end of this, though, is that it's pretty rare for me to just like pull up a friend and just be like, hey.
Well, like, that's exactly. That's the other thing. It was like, you're on there to talk.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Whereas like, yeah, texting to me is very much more like function driven.
It's like coordinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not having like ongoing conversations typically with people via text about like how their day was.
Yeah.
Or anything.
I would say this is like one of those things where I don't even know if there's like a small like micro generation between you and I, despite being like pretty close in age.
Yeah.
But like, I have always felt like it was more common for me to be communicating with somebody. Like I would say in former years, I would say that this is less true as I get older.
Yeah.
But like Alice and I will still like be updating each other on like what's been going on throughout the day, pretty much throughout the day.
Well, like, I mean, yeah, I'll get updates from Beth for sure that are just like, oh, Luke did great at swim lessons today, or, you know, Nick has a fever or something.
Sure. Yes. But I mean, I think that I would say that like my guess is that if you got that message, you would be like, oh, that's awesome. And then, like, it wouldn't be, there wouldn't be, like, an expectation that then she would then respond again.
Yeah.
To, like, that's awesome.
Right.
I do think that Alice and I probably talk throughout the day in more of a...
Conversational
or potentially, like trying to help one another, like, solve a problem
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Like, you know, I would say the back and forth pretty much never stops, but it's also massively broken up by the fact that we're just doing our jobs.
Right.
So there's that. But that has always felt like a small, like I said, microgenerational thing, which is always interesting to me, like when you discover these like very, very subtle differences.
Yeah.
Where it's like my relationship with texting was introduced just earlier enough that like it was something that I was doing like all the time and constantly. But then similarly, like our younger brother Tyler, I remember like when he got into like Snapchat,
yeah.
which I have to this day like never understood Snapchat. Like,
yeah,
it has never made sense to me. I've never had the slightest clue of like what are you supposed to do with it. Like I feel like when somebody first told me about it, it just seemed like a really like. It was like someone came up with the idea that it was like, hey, do you want to send an inappropriate photo? Well, basically, we've created an entire platform to send an inappropriate photo because it will go away.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's how somebody told me what it was once upon a time.
I feel like that is what every adult's version of Snapchat, like, that's where your brain goes. You're like, why? Like, oh, yeah, you send people pictures and then delete themselves in 24 hours. It's like, okay.
Okay, but
like,
here's
why,
the thing.
Like, why can't you just text them?
Here's the thing, though, is that every single photo I've ever seen on somebody else's Snapchat, I'm just gonna hold mine up so you can see it, or I'll just also post it too.
Yeah,
whatever. But it's literally like half the time just somebody who just like took a picture of like them looking down at their phone with like it's almost as if in addition to just me like responding to like our normal conversation, here's just a picture of like my forehead just so that you can see that,
right,
like it's not quite a Zoom call, it's not quite FaceTime, but it is like, here is proof that I myself sent you this this response back.
Is that your interpretation of that?
I have absolutely no idea.
My interpretation is that Snapchat requires a photo
with the
message. So it's like, this is me fulfilling the requirement. I don't really care about, I'm just texting you, but because I have to send a photo with it because that's the app, here's a picture.
Yes, okay. Well, and I have to admit that when we were on Splash Mountain during our most recent trip to Disney,
yeah.
there was a couple of teenaged girls in the seat in front of us, and one of them I saw like while we were going through the cave, like in the darkness, she just had like her phone out and she was like going through Snapchat. And it was like a morbid fascination type of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on here? Because literally I just saw her like click through. I mean, it had to be 75 responses that she had that were all just literally pictures of people's, like every single one of them was different people all taking the exact same photo, which was like this forehead shot.
Right.
And I was like, what do I not understand about Snapchat? Because I don't get it at all.
I think the appeal must be way less about like, it must be much more that the messages are deleted after 24 hours.
It could be.
And it's not so much about sending people pictures. This is look at us trying to reverse engineer the appeal of Snapchat.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
An app that we're not going to start using.
No, yeah. Not at all. But okay, so yeah, like that goes back to my question though, is that like Instagram on the flip side, you know, it's like you will constantly see like an Instagram versus like reality post.
Yeah.
Or like Instagram, I think is highly criticized for looking like a way too polished version of your life. And so it's almost making me wonder if this generation, like the Snapchat generation, is like less preoccupied with making sure that you present yourself in like a highly polished way. Like, is this like a generational thing, like of our group of people, which is like, no, you know, like if you're gonna like post yourself online, make sure it like looks good, you know? But like the next gen is like, no, it's fine. Like we've seen these people in person before. Like,
right.
Just send them a forehead shot. It doesn't matter. Like that could be one of those like major paradigm shifts that like happens on like a razor thin line between.
I can see something like that, like developing, just like being much more your natural self. But it also doesn't matter if you take a bad picture, though, because they're not permanent pictures. They're just going to get deleted.
True. I mean, there's absolutely that. And I think, and again, this is, I hope this is hilarious for people who use Snapchat to like, listen to two people
all the time
attempt to describe Snapchat. But I also think that if you were to screenshot someone's Snap, then it alerts the person. That it has been done.
Right.
So like if you were to like, if I were to send my forehead picture, you know, back to somebody, and they were like, click, you know, like took a picture of it. Yeah. It'd be like, why did you do that?
What was this?
What's this all about?
Yeah.
And I almost wonder like what is the like metadata associated with the screenshots.
Yeah.
Like, is that like at any point in time akin to like liking a photo? It's like, oh, I see. It was a good enough photo to screenshot it.
Right.
So that like it couldn't disappear because you know I'd be notified. So isn't that weird? It's like a multi-layered psychology experiment.
Yeah.
I'm just plumb baffled.
Well, I think it would want, it feels like it should notify you because like the social contract you're entering into with someone when you communicate on Snapchat is that this communication will expire within a day. And it's like, Snapchat's like, this person broke the rules of engagement.
But that to me though also means that like the rules of engagement will have like established as this other set of like unspoken rules of the situation. Like, is it considered flattering? Is it considered negative? Like, what is the subtext associated with screenshotting a photo? Is it like, I really liked this photo that you sent me, so I want to be able to keep it, and I know that you will be informed of that decision? Or is it more of a like, oh man, now I know that they have that.
Right. I assume there is some levels. I would bet that, you'd want to keep the photo as some sort of like, memento or evidence or
memento,
whatever.
That sounds creepy. I don't know why. It's like my memento.
You're right. It does sound creepy. But then the whole expire, it's like, this is what doesn't make sense to me about Snapchat. Is like, people are like, oh yeah, just like you can send people pictures and they just disappear after 24 hours. Like, why do you get like, why wouldn't you just text them? Like, what is the difference? Like, I don't understand. Like, why are you using this different app when you have Messenger on your phone?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get, like, I remember one time I was talking to someone in college and I'd be talking to them on, I think it was iChat, which was like Apple's integration with Instant Messenger.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It would load in there. And within iChat, you could just click a button. Just click a button and it would just open up a video call inside of iChat to the other person.
Oh, wow.
Right? Not a big deal. And I was going to video chat someone. They're like, do you have Skype? And I was like, no. And like, okay, download it and then we'll video chat. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, why wouldn't we just use the app we're already on? I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Hey, remember Skype?
Man, how did they lose that foothold?
I have no idea.
Like, that is it. Oh, that is like one of those words. I think we talked about it once upon a time. Like how Google could potentially lose being like, what is it, genericized?
Yeah.
Like it, where it is now just a word for an internet search. I feel like this was the equivalent, like to web call somebody, to be able to FaceTime with somebody,
yeah,
was to Skype somebody. And they had like, they were like the name. That's what you called it. Like, yeah, hey, like, you want to Skype? And that's like what you did, which I never really did. And I was not like a big Skyper. I don't,
yeah,
I've probably done it like maybe less than six times.
Well, I didn't really use it that much because I was already talking to the people in iChat.
Right. Yeah.
And exactly, if I wanted a video, I would just do it that way. I don't understand why people, that never made sense to me. That, like, this is the same thing with Snapchat. It's like, you can already text them. Why do you need a different, like, if you have like WhatsApp or something where it's like international and you're getting around some sort of like service fee,
uh-huh,
or something, I can see that. I know people do international WhatsApps and that has like a utility to it, but I don't know why otherwise you would just chat inside of a different platform when you have the existing one.
I don't know how to describe this, but I do feel like there have been occasions where I have felt like more witty or like personable inside of certain avenues of communication than others. Like, it's almost like text messages is like, okay, like, we need to like coordinate something. This is like, what time are you going to be there? Okay, I'll be there. I'll
right,
see
like
then.
Texting like, is just for official anything? Business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it's like, but I can be whimsical over here. Like, I can be fun.
Right. Maybe this is the difference. It's like, you're in this app. The point of being in here is to chat. Maybe that's the difference. It's, yeah, like having a buddy list open again.
Now I'm like, for the first time in my whole life, I feel like I'm like, maybe I should try Snapchat. See what all the fuzz is about.
What's the fuss about? I remember the first time I got on Snapchat, like, yeah, because I thought that. I was like, I'll just see. Maybe you just have to do it to know. And I immediately just like, you know, I think you could hit like import contacts and I did it. And I immediately got, I remember getting like four messages from people that like I had, you know, would barely even call acquaintances. And I was just like, what's going on here? Like, I don't like,
is it like a manual, like feed from Facebook where it's like, you have to choose to send it to everybody, but like you're optionally choosing to do that.
I think exactly what was happening is that my lack of understanding about the app is that Snapchat was almost like paving like the way for stories or something.
Okay.
It was just like, here's what I'm doing. Let me just post. I think that's basically maybe one way people were using Snapchat was like as stories before it was part of like Instagram and Facebook and every other platform.
Sure.
Which is like, you could just watch someone's Snapchat story throughout the day.
Okay. And I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see
and
that.
And I can see that as an appeal. I don't understand just the actual just messaging when you could just be texting. I don't like, whatever. Unless you just really are a fan of the 24-hour expiration thing. And I can see like that, like even stories now expire in 24 hours. But yeah. I remember, yeah, like thinking like logging on and not maybe understanding that aspect of it and just being like, now why did these four people message me? And it's like, nothing. You're like, I don't know.
We're like, gonna why sound am I like updating we are everything 109 years old. Goodness gracious.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like we're at that point.
We're there.
It seems like if we don't leave now, we're just gonna be, it's just gonna get worse.
It's getting worse.
Descend into madness. Guys, yeah, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. If you have any feedback for us, if you want to explain to us how Snapchat works, you can send any feedback over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter and Reddit. Or if you would like to follow just Jay and I, we finally created an Instagram for Carlin Brothers, which is just at Carlin Brothers.
Yeah, we've been posting a lot more stuff there recently. So if you want to go give that a follow, it's a good time.
It's a good time. It's a good way to get like sort of like that behind the scenes look into like the inner workings of the office.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun over there. But otherwise, if you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. Otherwise, until next time,
pop, pop.